It's August 6th, 2023. It's a Sunday, and it's 18:16 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Yes, I'm Ward Green. This is Carl Jung. A quote from him: "The greatest and most important problems in life are all fundamentally insoluble. They can never be solved, but only outgrown." And the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu said, "You are controlled by the one who makes you angry." That was something I believed that my parents taught me too, when I was quite young. I've been trained in a lot of things from a very young age, such as to always tell the truth. That was ingrained in me from a very young age. Mark Twain said, "Circumstances make man, not man circumstances." Now, when I said always tell the truth, that comes with a lot of different caveats, because, for example, Jesus said, "Do not put pearls before swine." So saying to always tell the truth does not mean to tell the truth to just, or just tell it, to give information, that is. Although it may be true, and although you know it's true, it doesn't mean to give information to just anybody. You need to be selective in that as well, but to never speak a falsehood is probably a better way of putting it. But Mark Twain, "Circumstances make man, not man circumstances." That is fascinating. I mean, very wise. Marvin Gaye, in 1968, made a recording of this song, which was released in 1968, and played on the charts in 68-69 to get these results. Four number ones on the charts, including the UK, and three charts in the US. It's called "I Heard It Through the Grapevine," Marvin Gaye.
Oh, man.
Marvin Gaye. Now, that was a song we heard. I was 11 years old in 1968, and in 69 I was 12 years old, because I was born January 10th, so that's basically how it works. But that song, I mean, Gladys Knight and the Pips did a version of it earlier than 68, and I can't remember their name exactly. Is it Creedence Clearwater? I think it's Creedence Clearwater Revival. They did a version of it too, and that was one that I heard also. I believe I probably heard Gladys Knight too, but the one that I think I remember more was a male voice singing it. I'm not sure. I want to listen to Gladys Knight. I haven't listened to it. I'm just not well enough to do all the research that I need to do here. This is from the Born and Raised article, chapter 3. I mean, I'm not strong enough. I don't have consistent hot cold sensitivity on 3/6, but I definitely have, finally, for the first time the other day, hot and cold sensitivity on 3/6. And I've been diagnosing my own cavities for years and knowing which tooth it was for all of that time, been able to identify the correct tooth. This is chapter 3, paragraph 12 of Born and Raised. There are going to be three paragraphs or subparagraphs here. The birth date of Jesus is associated with shepherds at their work of watching their flocks outdoors at night. We've all heard that Christmas time story. The shepherds watching their flocks by night implies a birth during a warmer part of the year. Thought I better put a disclaimer here. Just because I mentioned Christmas doesn't mean that Christians celebrate Christmas, okay? The shepherds watching their flocks by night implies a birth during a warmer part of the year. I mean, everybody has free will, right? The shepherds watching their flocks by night implies a birth during a warmer part of the year, which does not cause a problem. Yeah, I also need to mention, I received the bladder, the urinary, so when I pass water, I can pass water into the bladder. And I've been using it all day today here, ever since I woke up, that is. But it has a few things that I've been working on sorting out so that I can make sure it's reliable. It's possible I can get it working reliably. It's not leaking, it's just installing the components, the bladder low enough, with the tubing low enough so that the flow cannot back up. During a warmer part of the year, the shepherds watching their flocks by night implies that it was warm outside, which does not cause a problem, since Jesus could have been born in a warmer part of the year, BCE 6, which would still allow for the astrologers to arrive later that year, and the age of Jesus would just be a bit older than at his baptism. By the way, I am less and less able to do things. My energy level has gone down and down and down. It's attributable to 3/6 as the infection in the root, but it's not manifesting with the normal, you know, symptoms exactly, you know, as you would normally expect. Jesus could have been born in the warmer part of the year BCE 6, which would still allow for the astrologers to arrive later that year. And the age of Jesus would just be a bit older at his baptism. But that's not something we really care to delve into. Oh, because and alters his birthday. About 30 years old, in quotes, is possibly 31 years old. Because the scripture said about 30 years old was the age of Jesus at his baptism. So that's possibly 31 years old. However, we also certainly expect John the Baptizer as a Levite to have started his preaching at age 30. And he, being 5 or 6 months older than Jesus, put some limit upon the age of Jesus depending on how much time went by after John began to preach prior to Jesus' baptism. Then again, maybe the weather was unseasonally warm at the month of Jesus' birth, so the flocks were outside. We have seen that there were apparent celestial events in the years 7 to 6 BCE, which could very well account for the Bible's report about the astrologers who journeyed to Jerusalem in search of, quote, one born king of the Jews, unquote. That strangers would journey from a distant land based on their having seen an impressive heavenly phenomenon associated with the Jewish constellation Aries is such a clear criterion, even for us who live in later times, that we were able to locate Jupiter in Aries in BCE 6. Of course, with the help of Mr. Molnar and also the help of Mr. Kepler, it is perhaps important to notice that neither Jupiter nor Saturn were in Aries the previous year, BCE 7, which is what Mr. Kepler was talking about, but both are in Pisces before Jupiter enters Aries, just in time, on March 9th, BCE 6, while Saturn doesn't enter Aries until March 2nd, BCE 5, after Jupiter goes out from Aries. The expectation for BCE 6 as Jesus' birth year did not arise with astronomy, but with his age at baptism from Luke 3 and 23, and a back-calculated baptismal year, 26 CE. And then we back-calculated from 26 using his age. Astronomy, however, bears it out, as we just saw, with strong evidence. There are still many more studies that one could do in astronomy on this matter, and we will do them, Jehovah willing, at an appropriate time. But the length of our article will not allow the fullness which they demand, and the details revealed above will more than suffice, most especially since the facts strongly support them. For we determine Jesus' birthday from the succeeding timeline of his baptism, ministry, crucifixion, Daniel 9:24-27, Peter welcoming the nations, Paul arriving at Jerusalem 14 years after his conversion and coinciding with the year that King Herod Agrippa I dies, the date of the Essene Passover, and the Second Temple problems during its final 40 years, as documented by the Talmud. So far, everything fits well and without major trials. Of course, we will continue to be open to refinements. This would seem to be a good time. I was going to say a very good time. And it is also that. To review how Daniel 9:24-27 has been fulfilled by the eventual chronology. I was rather joyous when I came up with the word eventual to describe the chronology. I remember that as I was writing this, that was something that I took some pleasure in, because it's hard to describe this eventuality, or I should say this chronology. It's also an eventuality because it has events in it. I just find that to be a useful description. So our proverb for today, little children, from Proverbs 16:3, roll your works upon Jehovah himself, and your plans will be firmly established. Let's bring the light level up a little bit here. Better, I think. So roll your works upon Jehovah himself, and your plans will be firmly established. But Jehovah means he causes to become. So that means when we're making our plans, we should strive to become someone even better than who we are at the moment as we're making our plans. Our plans should be able to transform us into somebody better than who we are. That's what that suggests. Now 1 Corinthians 16, the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, which Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Now concerning the collection that is for the holy ones, just as I gave orders to the congregations of Galatia, do that way also to yourselves. Every first day of the week, let each of you at his own house set something aside in store as he may be prospering, so that when I arrive, collections will not take place then. But when I get there, whatever men you approve of by letters, these I shall send to carry your kind gift to Jerusalem. However, if it is fitting for me to go there also, they will go there with me. But I shall come to you when I have gone through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia, and perhaps I shall stay or even pass the winter with you, that you may conduct me part way to where I may be going. For I do not want to see you just now on my passing through, for I hope to remain some time with you, if Jehovah permits. But I am remaining in Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost, for a large door that leads to activity has been opened to me. But there are many opposers. However, if Timothy arrives, see that he becomes free of fear among you, for he is performing the work of Jehovah, even as I am. Let no one, therefore, look down upon him. Conduct him partway in peace, that he may get here to me, for I am waiting for him with the brothers. Now concerning Apollos, our brother, I entreated him very much to come to you with the brothers, and yet it was not his will at all to come now. But he will come when he has the opportunity. Stay awake, stand firm in the faith. Carry on as men, grow mighty. Let all your affairs take place with love. Now I exhort you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they set themselves to minister to the holy ones. May you also keep submitting yourselves to persons of that kind, and to everyone cooperating and laboring. But I rejoice over the presence of Stephanas, and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your not being here, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore recognize men of that sort. The congregations of Asia send you their greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the congregation that is in their house, greet you heartily in the Lord. All the brothers greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Here's my greeting, Paul's, in my own hand. If anyone has no affection for the Lord, let him be accursed. O our Lord, come. May the undeserved kindness of the Lord Jesus be with you. May my love be with all of you in union with Christ Jesus. That's the end of the book of Corinthians, little ones. And we have 13 minutes left today. Don't know if that might be enough time to do the book of Numbers 35. I'm not sure. But I'm really weak. And it's very, very likely attributable to my tooth, which needs a root canal. So, you may be my endodontist who's hearing this. If you have the ability, if you feel you have the ability to help me, you may contact my dental office, the office of my dentist in Metcalf, Metcalf Family Dental Center. And of course, if you have my email, you can email me. But I'm thinking, my dentist is away currently, but they have more than one dentist in the office. But I need I need to know if there is somebody who believes they can help me. Well, the next thing, we might be able to do numbers. 35, let's see. Numbers is the fourth book in the Bible. So that would work. So the Levite cities, it's quite a long book. We might be able to do it. I don't even know if I've read it yet. I've read it many times, but not, maybe not recently. And Jehovah went on to speak to Moses on the desert plains of Moab. Well, I probably haven't read it many times even, but parts of it many times. And Jehovah went on to speak to Moses on the desert plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, saying, give the sons of Israel the command that they must give the Levites cities. Well, I read it recently, actually. I just remember, we'll see if I have. I think I did read it to prepare it. Cities to inhabit out of the inheritance of their possession, and they should give the Levites the pasture ground of the cities all around them. And the cities must serve for them to inhabit, while their pasture grounds will serve for their domestic animals and their goods and for all their wild beasts. And the pasture grounds of the cities which you will give the Levites will be from the wall of the city and out for 1,000 cubits all around. And you must measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits and on the south side 2,000 cubits and on the west side 2,000 cubits and on the north side 2,000 cubits with the city in the middle. This will serve them as pasture grounds of the cities. Now this verse 4,000 cubits, the footnote says that the Septuagint version says 2,000 in verse 4. So that's interesting, and that speaks for the Septuagint as being good. These are the cities that you will give to the Levites, 6 cities of refuge, which you will give for the manslayer to flee there, and besides them you will give 42 other cities. All the cities that you will give to the Levites will be 48 cities, they together with their pasture grounds. The cities that you will give will be from the possession of the sons of Israel. From the many you will take many, and from the few you will take few. Each one in proportion to his inheritance that he will take as a possession will give some of his cities to the Levites. I need to get water. Yeah. I think I hear water sloshing around in the bladder. Yeah. And Jehovah continued to speak to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you must say to them, you are crossing the Jordan to the land of Canaan. And you must choose cities convenient for yourselves as cities of refuge. They will serve for you. And the manslayer must flee there who fatally strikes a soul unintentionally. And the cities must serve you as a refuge from the blood avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the assembly for judgment. And the cities that you will give, the 6 cities of refuge will be at your service. 3 cities you will give on this side of the Jordan, and 3 cities you will give in the land of Canaan. As cities of refuge they will serve for the sons of Israel, and for the alien resident and for the settler in the midst of them. These 6 cities will serve as a refuge for anyone to flee there that fatally strikes a soul unintentionally. These are unintentional manslayers, according to it's the same language that we see in the modern day too. But 3 cities on the east side and 3 on the west side of the Jordan. Now, if it was with an instrument of iron that he has struck him so that he dies, he is a murderer. Without fail, the murderer should be put to death. And if it was with a small stone by which he could die that he has struck him so that he dies, he's a murderer. Without fail, a murderer should be put to death. And if it was with a small instrument of wood by which he could die that he has struck him so that he dies, he's a murderer. Without fail, a murderer should be put to death. The avenger of blood is the one who will put the murderer to death when he chances upon him. He himself will put him to death. This is talking about somebody who's a close relative of the person who was slain, but murdered in this case. Only in the case of a murderer would there be an avenger of blood. And if in hatred he was pushing him, or he is thrown at him while lying in wait that he might die, or in enmity he has struck him with his hand that he might die, without fail, that is the murderer. The striker should be put to death. He's a murderer. The avenger of blood will put the murderer to death when he chances upon him. Now, the reason why the cities for the manslayers were necessary is because somebody might seek to avenge that person, even though the death was unintentional. So they were given cities of refuge, but the murderers were to be put to death. And the avenger of blood was permitted to put the murderer to death when he chances upon him. But if it was unexpectedly, without enmity that he has pushed him or has thrown any article toward him without lying in wait, or any stone by which he could die without seeing him, or he should cause it to fall upon him so that he died, while he was not at enmity with him and was not seeking his injury, the assembly must then judge between the striker and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. And the assembly must deliver the manslayer out of the hand of the avenger of blood, and the assembly must return him to his city of refuge to which he had fled. And he must dwell in it until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. So they only dwelt in the cities of refuge, or one of the cities of refuge, that is, until the death of the high priest. The death of the high priest was the termination point for the residence in the city of refuge. But if the manslayer without fail goes out of the boundary of his city of refuge to which he may flee, and the avenger of blood does find him outside the boundary of his city of refuge, so what was it saying there when right? Okay, right. So the avenger of blood would not be allowed to do anything according to the assembly's decision in the case of an unintentional loss of life, you know. But in the case of a deliberate murder, then the avenger of blood would be allowed to put the manslayer, not the manslayer, but the murderer, not the manslayer, but the murderer, to death. That was how they did it in the days of Moses. That's not at all how we do it today. I mean, we don't have such a thing at all. Today it's done by the government. But these must serve. Okay. If the manslayer without fail goes out of the boundary of his city of refuge to which he may flee, then and the avenger of blood does find him outside the boundary of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood does slay the manslayer, he has no blood guilt, for he ought to dwell in his city of refuge until the high priest's death, that after the high priest's death, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And these must serve as a statute of judgment for you throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. Every fatal striker of a soul should be slain as a murderer at the mouth of witnesses, and one witness may not testify against the soul for him to die. And you must take no ransom for the soul of a murderer who is deserving to die, for without fail he should be put to death. And you must not take a ransom for one who has fled to his city of refuge to resume dwelling in the land before the death of the high priest. And you must not pollute the land in which you are, because it is blood that pollutes the land, and for the land there may be no atonement respecting the blood that has been spilled upon it, except by the blood of the one spilling it. And you must not defile the land in which you are dwelling, in the midst of which I am residing, for I, Jehovah, am residing in the midst of the sons of Israel. You must not defile the land in which you are dwelling, in the midst of which I am residing, for I, Jehovah, am residing in the midst of the sons of Israel. That is, defiling it with blood by committing a murder, or even, it's impossible to prevent accidental deaths, I suppose, but a murder is certainly preventable if the murderer can avoid, you know, the action of being a committing murder, obviously. But Jehovah didn't like murderers. He doesn't like murderers. I mean, I'm just so ill right now. I would just be able to die. You know, no possibility of any retaliation in a state where I am. But I wouldn't retaliate when I'm feeling well either. But when I'm sick, I'm not likely to retaliate. I'm more likely to just try and find somebody to help me, or pray to Jehovah to find the answer, or, I mean, these are just difficult times because I'm so ill, and because the standard procedures are saying that I don't need a root canal, apparently, but I do know that I need a root canal. It's just that the standard tests are not indicative of it, and apparently there's quite a lot of stock placed in the standard tests. Okay, please help me if you can. I am going to, we need to terminate the study. I'm going to end it now. This study is over. It's August 6, 2023, 1849 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you. Love is the most powerful thing in the world, most powerful action or feeling or anything. This is Dusty, and this is Gully saying bye for now.